happiness. Isn't it glorious that this should fall on the day of the dead? Everybody. Everything, everywhere. Miracles everywhere. I'll wait just a second for the bells to stop chiming, reminding us that we're here. For whom the bell tolls is running through my mind. Mm-hmm. I have a mind like that, which just throws up these things. I'll speak up, and if I'm not speaking up in a way you can hear me, if you would just put your finger up, then I'll know that, and I will talk a little louder. When Sarah originally asked me to do this, I was down in Santa Fe at a two-day retreat with John Tarrant, a most fortunate occurrence in my life that I was able to do that and to be there. And I couldn't do the first date that she wanted, and then this date came up, and I went, oh, I don't want to do that. Yes, I do want to do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. Yes, I'll do that. As such things are, oh my God, what if I don't do it right? Okay, my whole shtick just rolled right out there in front of me. And then I said, I'll just show up, and I'll just be me, which is what the Red Thread Koan has taught me most of all. I only have to just be this one human that I am. I wondered how in 5 minutes I might roll out all that I've learned since I came into this community and what a gift it's been to me. And what that Red Thread Koan, as I travel with it, is offering up for me in my life. And what I thought of was, well, perhaps I should just start with describing how it unfolds over a day or several days in this one life that I'm living. And some things began to come up. And as I said, those crazy little things that roll across your mind and some sort of awareness goes, that one might be useful, and grabs it down. And I thought about years ago when I was watching the wonderful Steve Martin movie Parenthood. And being a grandma myself now, I heard in my mind that little soliloquy that she gives at the end, and all the craziness that's going on as they're trying to raise their kids and how distressed they all are and the craziness that's going on. And she says, you know, some people like merry-go-rounds. They just go around and around and around. I myself remember years ago with Grandpa riding a roller coaster. And I remember the terror and the thrill and the joy of going up and down and up and down and up and down. And I thought how I really wanted to do that again. And I loved that. And I thought of the Rilke quote that's meant a great deal to me. I put it on a little card so I could find it. And in this tradition, which I found to be very resonant for me, the koan's just damn trying to find you if you just pay attention, if you just listen. A few years ago when I was writing and painting and doing some things I loved doing before my grandson was born, someone read this quote when we were beginning to paint. And it says, you see, I want a lot. Maybe I want it all. The darkness of each endless fall, the shimmering light of each ascent. So many are alive and don't seem to care. Casual, easy, they move in the world as though untouched. But you who take pleasure in the faces, but you take pleasure in the faces of those who know they thirst, who cherish you, who grip you for survival. You are not dead yet, it's not too late to open your depths by plunging into them and drink in the life that reveals itself quietly there. So here's what's happened in my red thread life of the past few days. Wednesday was Halloween. It's also the first day of Day of the Dead, the day of the children who died, the Innocentes. And I had the great joy of participating in a yearly ritual with my daughter and her son-in-law and my grandson, who's six, and their what I call BFF family, two little boys who became dear friends at two in a preschool class. And we now do a Halloween thing every year where we pick a theme and we all dress up. And I'm part of that. Lucky me. This year's theme was superheroes. So we had Captain America, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man. My daughter was someone like a superhero I don't even know. And these three little boys, and I said, well, yeah, I'm kind of old, maybe I'm not a superhero. I guess maybe I'm Lois Lane. Reporting. And I made my little press pass and got my steno book. And no problem, I've got my glasses. So I was out observing with them. And here they are in a relatively affluent neighborhood. And it's dark. And they're enjoying the dark. These little spooks and goblins out, knocking on any door. Oh my goodness, that was the name of the workshop retreat I went to. Knock on any door. And the doors open, and there are all these different kinds of faces and people and old grandmas like me giving out full Snickers bars, not the little ones. And there's somebody giving out pencils, and we're walking on the leaves. And I'm feeling how life is rising up to offer this to me. Can I be present? Later in my dreams, I don't remember my dreams, but they show up in the morning. There were the children of Yemen. The one who just died, the 7-year-old beautiful girl who starved to death. There were the migrant children marching up from Central America away from a hell that they're living in that we participated in creating for them. And our president, who I don't like. Oh, there's some anger in there. How about that? The passions serve their purposes. He's sending troops to the border. What can I do about that? Not very much. I could post something on Facebook that says they should be sending a MASH unit. In fact, a lot of them. And I put myself out there. And I'm finding out, who is this one person that I am? What really draws me? What do I have a passion and a care about? Children. The children. The next day, I got up. My grandson had a Halloween hangover. I take him to school on Thursday mornings, and I blessed the teachers and said, God bless you. Have a good day. And went on and saw some clients at my office. I'm still practicing as a therapist. And I felt the great red thread of my life that wants to move towards those who come to me, that we might walk together into a fuller life for them. And I thought, get down on your knees, Meredith. That rose up in life called you, and this is your red thread. This is who you are and what you can offer. Yesterday, a most interesting thing happened that made me again aware of the red thread in its vast longing and desire that, if we are not afraid of it, will make us alive inside. So I've noticed for the past week that my car was leaking a little bit of oil. I was like, oh, I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. But decided perhaps I should take it in yesterday. If I'm going to drive to Colorado Springs tomorrow morning, perhaps I should just do that. And so I pull into the little service area not too far from my home that fixes all kinds of things and now changes oil. And I said, well, I'll just go in here. How about that? That's close to my home. And the man comes out to check me in, and he looks at my license plate, and I've been there before. So he goes, oh, Meredith, hi. And the most interesting thing came into my awareness. This man looks like a doppelganger for Denzel Washington. And I am very attracted to him. That little erotic charge came up inside of me. If I were younger, isn't he attractive? I like the way he moves. I like his voice. And all of a sudden, I felt very awake inside. And so he says, it's going to take an hour. Oh, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. We're not sure if this is a big problem or a little problem. And I'm thinking. And I'm looking around for magazines because I always bring a book, but I haven't brought a book. And there's Car and Driver, you know, Popular Mechanics, things I know nothing about and have zero interest for me. But the TV is on, so I go, well, what the heck? I can't even get my internet connection here, so I'll have to put down that endless flow of Facebook. It just keeps me interested about all kinds of things. And I'm sitting there, and we're just chatting about my car, and all of a sudden up on the news comes a big news flash. A mile and a half from where we are at Rangeview High School, they have a potential shooter on the scene. Helicopters. People start coming together and talking. One man who's fixing the cars comes in and says, I just got a text from my sister who got a text from her daughter who's under a desk. Another person stepped forward and said, my brother works for X ambulance company and I just got a text from him and all the ambulances they have are headed out to Rangeview High School. And there is this aliveness, fear, terror, oh my God, not again, a mile and a half from where we are, in Pittsburgh and Charlottesville and Columbine and the theater shootings and all of it is just rolling at us. And then something quite amazing happened. People leaned in toward each other. They leaned in toward each other. And all of us were just there not knowing what was going to happen. And that deep impulse at the core, that deep longing, I love the word longing. Coleman Barks, who translates Rumi, says, it's all longing, the great desire to move out. And John Terrence starts his chapter on the red thread in Rhinoceros with the connections that desire makes. Here we are. Poof, this came up in our faces, and we are connecting. We are waking up together. We are potentially about to witness another horrible, where is it coming from, tragedy. And time goes on, and the story goes on, and children have been evacuated to a King Soopers nearby, and they can't find the shooter. They thought he had a gun. They don't know if he had a gun. And everything's okay. Everything's okay. Whew. What was that aliveness that happened in that moment? How was it that life and death were that close together? That close together. And each one was like a vector pulling us toward each other. It could be life, it could be death, it could be life, it could be death. And here we are. Driving away, and I should say, there's a generosity that comes up with people when they're life, death, life, death, life, death. The crew that was working on the cars had ordered pizza for their lunch, but they were giving it out to everybody who was watching the TV. And they were going back and forth and doing their work like surgeons do with patients in operating rooms, but they're operating on cars. And I went home and went up to my little Zendo that I have and just sat for a moment. And huge waves of longing that all beings might be safe. Gratitude that at least for today, my grandson is okay, and my daughter is okay. And little memories, little film clips were just moving through and moving through and moving through. Oh, Friday morning. Forgot to tell you about Friday morning, how the mind just doesn't go this way, it goes that way. Having breakfast with my grandson so my daughter and her husband can go spin and do their exercise, and he comes downstairs for breakfast, and I thought, there it is. He's got his bowl of oatmeal, and he's got the Target catalog, and he's circling all the things he wants for Christmas. Let's see. Are there any he didn't circle? Oh, no, those are for babies. Those are not for him. Desire. He wants. He longs. He loves his toys, because with his toys he enters into the world of imagination and play where all things are possible. What if I lived my life like that? John Terence says in his writing of The Red Thread, which is a book that was given to me as a gift, and I really hadn't read that one until somehow it just grabbed me. And then I began to read it and read it. That your red thread, the unique you, the one and only ever you, that is humanly entangled in emptiness, only shows itself over time. Are you paying attention? Yes, you can't be anything but exactly like all of life that has been coming and going and coming and going and coming and going since a time we don't know of. And yet here you are. You are a unique expression. What do you love? What do you want? And if Guan Yin's eyes and hands are love, the shape of love, John Tarrant, I sent him a little email yesterday and said, I've been feeling like an artist. I took some lines from your book and just changed them just a little. And he said, how wonderful. What do I love? What do I, as the unique person that I am, want to give, want to touch? And is it all just serving? Or is it serving life by being so full of life that there isn't anything that's excluded? If compassion comes out of passion, the intense emotions, are there any nooks and crannies inside of me that are not welcomed home? My rage, ooh, I don't like that one. Rage scares me. Well, actually, rage and love is what makes people want to have sex. How interesting. And here in the autumn of my life, the late autumn, I'll be 72 soon. What do I really want? Really want? How could I touch the world that rises up to meet me with what I came here to give, the uniqueness of me and the great gift of life? And how could I also just love my life? As a young woman, desire frightened me. Desire had hurt me. The desire of others who didn't quite know how to manage that in themselves. So I brought some poems because I think that they probably say it better than I do. And I hope you're just utterly befuddled and confused by the stories I'm telling you, because that's how life is and that's how it moves through me. There are two books that I've loved that found me. John Terence, Bring Me the Rhinoceros. The first copy of Rhinoceros, his first iteration of Rhinoceros, said, "Bring me the rhinoceros and other koans that will bring you joy." This one, which I thought was really much more right on for this human, says, "Bring me the rhinoceros and other koans that will save your life." Ah, yes. Now, how did this one find me? Well, I have this thing that comes over me where I start Googling, asking questions, and whoop, something comes up, and I say, well, I'll go there. Oh, I know. You're not a good person, Meredith. You should go to your local bookstore. But I go to Amazon, and I order it up, and poof, 2 days later, there it is. And I say to myself, if it really doesn't fit for me, I can give it to my library. And I discovered Susan Murphy, a most beautiful human who is plumbing chapter after chapter, what does it mean to truly stay attached to this life? The Red Thread Koan is written two ways. Susan writes hers, why does the perfectly accomplished saint or bodhisattva not sever the red thread? John Tarrant writes his, why does the clear-eyed bodhisattva stay attached to the red thread? Well, this could kind of be confusing stuff in our tradition that talks about detachment and, you know, okay. Well, I don't think you can be neutral about life. Clinging and attachment are things where you get stuck. But linked to this world, come down into the earth and into the lives of others in a way that's messy, that's confusing, that if you choose to connect with others because you want to help them and because you have an impulse to care, is probably not going to go exactly the way you think it will, and they will influence you and you will influence them. And something new may come out of that. This book of poems by a man named Tony Hoagland, who John Tarrant introduced to me, and I think Sarah also got the gift of Tony Hoagland, happened to die while we were on our retreat. He died on the second day that we were on retreat. And these poems are really quite something. This one, which reached out and grabbed me, is called Better Than Expected. Things were not as bad as I had thought. The scrape in the fender of the rented car could be hidden with a little white paint before I returned it to the agency. The CD of New Age music, which I disliked at first with its synthetic wind of pulsing jellyfish, does a remarkable job of slowing down my heart. Merely to have survived to this point is already the most unlikely triumph. To still be breathing and trying to improve, things are definitely better than expected. I'm not on trial for anything. I have given up the idea of great success. The oncologist says the X-ray shows no abnormalities. We are always trying to come to a decision. always in a place where we are making up our minds, whether the soup is good, the flowers pretty, whether we are fortunate or poor. All my life I have been loved by women, held up by water, ignored by war. I have outlasted the voluntary numbness I required to remain alive. Why shouldn't I be able, now to walk down the street under the overhanging trees and raise my arms and say that the rain shaking down from the leaves is not an inconvenience, but a joy. And I'll close with a little piece that opens John Terence's version of The Red Thread from Salman Rushdie. We must agree on what matters. Kissing in public places, bacon sandwiches, disagreement, cutting-edge fashion, literature, generosity, water, a more equitable distribution of the world's resources, movies, music, freedom of thought, beauty, love, everything, everything. What is your red thread? What does your deep heart want? Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have a couple minutes for some conversation, questions, comments.
I have at least a dozen more poems, but oh gosh. A damn thing about time. Tick tock goes the clock.
So I really love that poem by Tony Hoagland. So there was what it brought up for me was I was recently thinking, you know, sometimes I really fret that I haven't accomplished much in my life, you know, at least according to some in our society. And this kind of haunts me now as I'm approaching the last stage of my life. And, and the other day it was like, well, so what do I want to get out of being here? And it came to be really simple, something I read in an article about midlife crisis, actually. By the way, monkeys go through, chimpanzees, they also go through midlife crises. Anyway.
They get in cars?
The thing about, I don't know what they're doing, they become depressed, actually. At about what would be the chimpanzee equivalent of 40, they become depressed. And once they get through that, then they become, well, for humans, what comes down is what's really important in life. And so the thing that came up to me was the people in my life that I care about. And, you know, often I think about who do I want to be there at my deathbed? Who do I want to say goodbye to? Who do I want to be there to witness, to support and say goodbye? And so it's kind of like, okay, so that's what I can focus on. How can I make worthwhile, fulfilling relationships that require for me to give more, maybe sometimes than I'm willing to give? And to forgive both others and myself, and to really, just really love. And I highly recommend Metta Meditation. It is a wonderful, wonderful practice. And it was just lovely to consider the red thread as not an obstacle, not something that we have to cut ourselves off from. So thank you. I thought you really embodied that well in your wanderings with us today. Thank you.
I think that's perhaps all we have time for, although the conversation can continue over at Woodlands. In the spirit of Theodemus Marcus, I'd like to do a meditation.
Yes.